Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading this Friday. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. March wheat at 6:07, down one on the open. May 6:20, up one. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade at 5:78, unchanged on the open. May 5:92, up one. July 6:03, up a quarter. March corn 3:80, down 1 3/4 on the open. May 3:90, down three. July 4:01, down 2 3/4, and December 4:25, down 2 1/4 on the open. March beans 9:71, up a half on the open. May 9:77, up 3/4. November 9:28, down 3 on the open. March soybean meal opened at 3:07.50. Down 1.20 on the open. May 3:06, down 1.70. March soybean oil opened at 32.28, down 9 on the open. May 32.63, down 12. February live cattle opened at 81.40, up 30 on the open. January feeders 94.25, up 5. February lean hogs 57.45, up 45. And February pork bellies 81 even, up 60 on the open. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 8,053, down 95 points. The NASDAQ 1490, down 17. And the S&P 500 at 833, down 11 1/4 points. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
We have a semi-annual U.S. cattle inventory report that's due out later this afternoon. Is there anything in it that we should be keeping an eye on referencing what might be a hint for grain producers?
Well, I don't know if it'll show up on today's report or not, Dave. There's a slight chance that it would, but we suspect that the cattle on feed numbers will drop pretty dramatically as the winter months end and the spring months start to come around. And so I think we're looking at a pretty normal report here for the Jan 1 numbers. But then come July, I think we'll probably see something along the lines of the 1996-1997 time period, where we saw historic and dramatic drops for cattle on feed, down around 10.8 million, 9.8 million head in those 2 years. And I think that's where maybe that bodes a little bit more negativity for the upcoming feeding demand for, you know, both beef and pork. And you throw in on top of that poultry livestock feeding as a whole is going to be down the second half of this calendar year in our analysis and our view. So today's numbers will be important from a standpoint of giving us a benchmark as to whether we're on track for hitting those record lows of cattle on feed in July 96 and July 97.
We had a pretty good export number yesterday for the second week in a row for corn exports after what has been just a miserable 6 months. And we had a pretty good sale this morning to Japan as well in corn. Are we getting to the point where we're sensing that just maybe exports are going to pick up from now on? And if so, do you think that 376 now becomes a pretty good level of support?
Yeah, and I would probably lower that down to 372 after talking to Chicago and our contacts up there on a weekly chart basis. We wouldn't want the March to go below 373 area if we had our druthers, especially given some of this new demand news. You know, it's interesting, Dave. I got the sincere impression from some of the newswire contacts I have that we were really disappointed with the weekly wheat export sales, because the impression was we were out of feed wheat, and so we would buy more regular wheat. And that really went against the grain to what's been happening here in the country and in the export market. The feed wheat has been robbing the corn. So I think we're finally seeing this transition of buying a lot of feed wheat in the export market because the prices have been going up, and our cash commercial contacts have been telling us supplies are dwindling out of the Black Sea, out of the Baltic region, for cheap feed wheat. And so it would naturally make sense that we'd start to see a better corn export number. What that translates into is to having to watch the wheat-corn spread. We got as high as, I think, 215 to 220 wheat, front-end wheat premium to front-end corn earlier this week. We now have dropped back below $2 wheat premium to corn. If I had my wish, I would like it to stay above $2 so that we kept the wheat uncompetitive to the corn on a feed basis. So that's a key element to today's trade as well.
As we're watching these numbers on the corn, and then try to figure out what the relationship is to the soybeans, is the risk to the beans still to the downside? And can corn hold these levels if we were to see a break in the beans down into the $9.17 to $9 area?
The three things that beans have going against them right now that the corn does not is if the crude oil keeps going lower, as it has, as expiration of front-end contracts have drugged down the next contract in line. Secondly, the weather in South America, I think most people would agree, you could save a lot of the bean crop if the weather pattern changed. And then there's the third issue of the demand side. We've had a terrific Chinese demand, Chinese lead export demand. We're a little bit concerned, that's front-end loaded, that the Chinese are not going to buy as much as they have here in the past 6 or 9 months, given the slowdown in the economy, given some of the build in the copper and aluminum stocks over across the seas. And why copper and aluminum? Well, because China is our biggest consumer on a worldwide basis of both copper and aluminum. So if their supply in the U.S. and the world supplies go up, that's the market's going to take that as the demand from China slowing down. That would theoretically mean slower growth in China, so that would hurt our oilseed, veg oil demand quite a bit later down the road. So I think in terms of corn-bean relationship, there's no question in our minds that Chicago and the trade really doesn't feel like they need to bid up acres for corn at all this year right now as it stands. So that gives beans a little bit more friendly tone to them in the back end November. It also gives the back-end November beans a little bit more friendly tone because the trade has been buying the front-end and bull-spreading it against the back-end. So if we would unwind that bull spread on a market top, that would give the November initially a little bit more lift. So, yes, all things being equal, I think it's safe to say that the beans have a little bit more downside than the corn would if you look at just strictly the fundamentals.
And if the beans do fall into that level, does corn follow it down?
I think they have to, unless the wheat takes back over as leadership. I mean, that's the one thing we've got this year that very few people are talking about. We've got an issue of very small acres. We know that, but we also don't really realize in the market. I asked the question midweek of some of our traders up in Chicago, do you know how dry it is in the southern plains? And they said, no, we don't care right now. There's a timing element here where if you start to see the dryness in the southern plains continue on into February, and then all of a sudden you see some wicked cold weather coming into the southern plains, and it becomes entrenched, I think the trade may change its course and mindset and psychology and say, we've got the wheat back down to this 570 level in Chicago front-end futures. Do we really want to take it below $6 in July, given the reduction in the winter wheat acres, the soft red winter wheat acres, and the hard red winter wheat acres? Maybe that gives the lift to the corn that the corn needs if the beans would head on lower.
From a timing standpoint, we've been kind of coiling into this wedge formation, both beans and corn. How much longer do you think we can be in this timing consolidation phase before something gives?
I would not look for more than maybe a week, Dave, and I think it goes back to the S&P and the dollar. They're both hitting and toggling back and forth between their 50-day moving averages. If we would lose the S&P 50-day moving average this week at the close today, and the dollar would gain back its 50-day moving average on a weekly basis here, I think that promotes the idea that you're not going to have the outside markets helping you in the corn and beans, and it goes back to you better have weather on your side. Now, you know, today is going to be an interesting day because you've got these corn exports you mentioned. We've also got a much drier Argentine weather forecast,
right,
both this weekend and next week. Now, I think maybe the market's not hitting the beans hard or the corn hard to the upside yet because the outside markets and because they don't trust the early models. They're going to wait for the noon models. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we can find a short-term bottom here in the S&P, and we come back if the models are bullish and dry in after the noontime updates that we can get this market turned back around and, you know, break up to some of those resistance levels and penetrate them. But I know I'm asking a lot, but we need to break this thing pretty soon to answer your question.
The GNP number this day, it was friendly, at least when compared to what analysts were predicting. They were predicting really dire consequences. We didn't get quite those levels. Is this a day we're going to look back at and say this was a day that the marketplace began to turn?
I think you can say that if the gold, which has made a nice run today, if the February gold can reach up and take out its October 10th high of that 938.80 level. We've tested major support in the gold this week. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact, we were back into the 870 region. We tested a major support line there and held it very nicely. On a weekly basis, the gold looks very healthy, technically speaking, especially if we can take that October 10th line high out.
All right, Mike. Good talking to you. Talk to you again this afternoon.
Thanks, Dave. Have a nice day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Looking at the current tick, March wheat is now trading, as the screen slowly grinds into the position, at 6.05 3/4, down 2 1/4 at the board of trade. March wheat, 5.80 1/4, up 2 3/4. March corn, 3.80 1/2, down 1 1/4. March beans, 9.71 1/2, up 1. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.